It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemer on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemer.
And now we are getting back to the second half of Atomic Habits because I finally finished the book.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That is like for you to finish after me. My mind's blown.
Well, I did
never
have,
has this happened.
I had a couple different books going.
Oh,
not that
no.
I'm being defensive.
No.
But I like to read a couple different books at a time.
Yeah.
And then at different times of day. That way I can go back and forth between fiction, nonfiction, learning.
See,
something.
I think I actually even text you and ask, like, can you do like, I don't know if this would be called self-help or self-improvement.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't think that I can do like that and like a good fiction book at the same time. Me personally, I just don't think I can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I've got to stick to what I'm reading and get it over with.
Oh, I have always, my whole life, though, had several books going at one time.
See, I've never, ever done that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you start a book.
Yeah.
Finish it.
Yes.
Move on to the next one.
Never, unless, I mean, when I was in high school and had to have different classes, but no, it's never in my adult life have I had two books going at once.
Oh.
I can't even keep straight. What's happening?
It's like being into a couple of different TV shows at the same time.
Oh, really that is. I can do.
Well, so you just got to think of books in the same kind of way.
But if you guys remember, I haven't even been reading for 10 years. So this is a good new thing for me. And I didn't want to overpressure myself to not finish either and then beat myself up.
No, exactly. And it's you remind me of when we were moving years ago and we were looking for a new house. And we were looking at a lot of houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would start to discuss them. And I would say, okay, I liked the house with blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, was that the one there? And my husband couldn't keep the houses straight. So I would have to go out during the day and like look at five houses and pick one of those to show him. He could only like remember.
So he could possibly be a one book person.
Yes.
Time too. Just like when I got my wedding dress. Now that I watch the Say Yes to the Dress and all these reality shows, I'm like mortified at myself.
Why?
But I went to one dress store, tried on like three dresses, really liked one or two of them. Said to my mom, let's get back in the car and go to the next dress store. We got in the car and I said, what am I doing? I can't even remember the three I just tried on. What's going to happen is I'm going to go to the next one. Then I'm going to be like, wait, what did I like about this one? We're going back in right now and I'm picking a dress. And we did. And I left. I got back home. And, you know, my fiance at the time was like, what are you doing? I thought you were going dress shopping. I'm like, I did. He's like, and why are you back? I'm like, done. You picked a dress, picked it, bought it. We're moving on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a wedding dress story like that.
Three dresses, done.
That is amazing.
I didn't want to get confused. I didn't want to be like, what was the lace? Is it the lace I liked on the other one? So, yeah, I have to just be kind of focused on.
Well, and that was a lot of what was discussed in the second half of the book. You remind me is knowing yourself and how you are and how you, because he gives us all these strategies. And then again, the author is James Clear. And we should point out, like, he didn't start out as he didn't go to school and study habits or anthropology or anything like that. Like, he kind of is self-taught almost, I would say. Although he did, like he played sports and like played in college. So he did have that background, which I do think playing sports continuously and not professionally, but like seriously.
Well, it gives you that discipline.
It gives you that discipline. And I think it helps you evaluate your strengths and weaknesses probably better than people who don't do that.
Yeah. Cause he even talked about, you know, some people like immediate gratification.
Yes.
Right. And some people don't have to have that. And I think I'm a person that it's not necessarily immediate gratification for me, but it is different than you who've read so many books and me who it was just like the book a month club was becoming like, can we just call it the dinner club? Because we weren't finishing the book. And why do we have to go?
I always finish.
You always. I know.
I'm a nerd.
You were always one of the ones that finished. And this is a book club like 20 plus years ago that we were in together. And all the way to the dinner, I'd have to think of all the reasons why. I'm sorry I didn't finish the book again, but, you know, I'm really going to do it next time. But now for me, like, so finishing a book is like a check mark in the plus column for me. Like, that's gratification. Like, I finished it. I started it. I'm not a quitter. I did it. And so I think that if I had multiple books going at one time, I wouldn't get to that finish line fast enough for me. And then I would lose interest and not finish any of them. So that's what I think.
And speaking to that, for years when I was working in radio, because, you know, you get up in the morning and the first thing I would do is go to work and I would do a 5 hours of live radio all morning. Mm-hmm. But like it's happening in the moment. It's not like it's something where I could see what I did because it was, you know, out. And I always found, like, looking back on it, and you just reminded me when those times when I did that, I always found myself pursuing other things that gave me immediate gratification because my job gave me none because I didn't know. Like, we never knew until we got ratings once a quarter how we were doing. And so I painted a lot of rooms in my house.
Okay.
And people would always say, why are you painting it yourself? I'm like, because it's immediate gratification.
Yes.
I can immediately see the new wall color.
It's so true.
And it was never perfect. It was never the best job, but I didn't care because for me, what I got out of it was more important than, you know, than having it professionally done and perfect.
Well, when you say that, you know, the author wasn't like, didn't go to school for this, didn't train it. As I read through a lot of this, I thought, you know, and not to pat myself on the back, because there's a lot of areas I can improve, but some of it was like, I could have wrote this book because he talks about one of the things.
Yes.
Did you get that same thing?
Yes.
Because one of the things he talks about is temptation building. You know, if you really like to go to, you know, Starbucks, but that's a treat or whatever, then you have to say to yourself, you know, I've got to do 10 sit-ups before I can go get my Starbucks or whatever else that you're trying to incorporate in your life. Like, let's say it's meditation. And you just, every day you keep putting meditation off. Then you say, you know, I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes, then I can get my Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a sales manager, I used to say to salespeople all the time, listen, make a game out of it. Like, say, what, you know, call, and once I schedule 2 appointments, then I'll get up and I'll walk around the block. I'll go get whatever my special thing is. I like to eat out of the vending machine. I'll go get something to eat from across the street, whatever it is. But make it like you have to get that done before you give in to what you really want to do. And he even used the example of a salesperson saying, you know, make 3 sales calls and then watch a clip from ESPN because the guy like loved to watch sports.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, what's your little treat you get after you do something that you kind of have to push yourself to do?
Yeah, I started that. That was one of the things, strategies in one of the writing workshops I went to. She said, you know, when you're trying to develop a writing habit, like, write down what your goals are, write down what you want to achieve, but also write down how you're going to reward yourself with more than a finished story.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, at least for me, sometimes I will finish a story and be like, oh, that's not as good as I want it to be, you know, and I would beat myself up. But if I had another reward, like, you know how much I love pens.
Yes.
So I would let myself go get a new pen every time I finished a story.
See, that's great.
Yeah, it was. And like, so the first, I finished one and sent it off. And I was like, so excited to go buy this pen that I'd had my eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel there's something to that, even if it's something small.
Well, I think people do that a lot for like, oh, if I lose 10 pounds, then I'll treat. But it doesn't even, don't make it that even far sometimes. Sometimes it's just the little things, like just do this little immediate thing that you already want to get into habit of doing, because this is called Atomic Habits, right?
Yes.
And then you reward yourself with something that you probably would have done anyways, but now turn it into that treat, that reward for yourself.
Yeah. So instead, like say after dinner every day, I have a friend who every evening, her thing is she has 2 cookies. Like that's her thing every evening.
That friend is not me.
No, it's not.
We're
But that's her thing. Every evening is she eats 2 cookies.
2 cookies. I love
it. So if she, say, were trying to build a habit, she would, because of like habit stacking or whatever, she would try to incorporate whatever she's doing before the 2 cookies. So the 2 cookies could be incorporated as the reward.
Okay. See?
Yes. So it's not even coming up with a new reward sometimes.
Right.
It's recognizing.
Yeah. That's why I said Starbucks you might get anyways, but
yes,
you are now saying that is a treat. And in order to, I'm going to stop doing that unless I start doing something I want to incorporate my habits.
Yeah. And the author, James Clear, like, I like how he he realized going on. Because again, I thought that too. It's like, man, why don't I write down the thoughts I have about things?
Yeah, right.
Like this is just a guy who like figured it out going along, and he started, I think he started with a blog, he said.
Yes.
And then it turned into a newsletter. And then he wrote a book. And it's like, I think I do start to do that. And then I feel like, oh, I don't have anything of value. I'm not saying anything people don't already know. And not to knock him, but he's not saying anything people don't already know.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to read it, though, because it's made a big, big difference to me. Like he talks about making the friction more difficult for things that you're trying to break. And now I have told Remy that I'm going to give him my book that, you know, the Atomic Habits book. But I said, now just please ignore the notes I wrote in there. So as I remembered this, this is funny. So as I remembered this one where it said, increase the friction associated with a bad habit. So his example in the book was he put his beer in the back of the fridge. So it'd make it harder for him to get to, which I thought that's not enough friction for me. So as I was thinking about the show today, I thought, well, that would be like me putting, you know, telling you to put a wine bottle in a box of mice. Like, but then when I read, I opened up the book and I saw that I had written, how funny, this is like know, 3 weeks ago, I had written, have someone hide my wine opener. So obviously I'm associating my friction that needs to be caused with my wine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yes. So when you get to that part, Remy, just know that no judging.
Lynn's not an alcoholic.
Right.
She just wants to decrease the wine.
Yes.
Just know that I'm going to answer all of your notes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll put my own little notes in there and answer yours.
Funny.
So that you know that I read them.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. But yeah, I was like, the beer in the back of the fridge, maybe not so much, but making like, and that's just an example of a, you know, a bad habit of, you know, me. It's not even a bad habit. It's not like I'm crazy. But if I want to drink less, then have someone hide the wine opener or have, you know, hide the wine in the house and make me have to ask for it, which I probably wouldn't do. And then I'd be like, all right, guess I'm not having any wine tonight. But just make whatever you see as your like bad habit, create more friction around that so it's harder to keep doing it.
Yeah, I but so I was thinking along while reading this, like, you know, about how he's really, he's not saying anything new, but he's saying it in a newly structured way. And it took me back to when my kids, both my kids, were in middle school years apart and they were struggling with math. And I said to both of them, go talk to one of the other math teachers. Sometimes you need to hear something in a different way to have it make sense for you. So if your math teacher isn't explaining it in a way that gets through to you, go ask somebody else to explain the same thing. And I think that's like, I think he would agree and say that is exactly what he did, is he's taking these things and just explaining them in a different way that may reach somebody who couldn't quite get it after hearing it before.
Right. And plus, I think he made them all really doable, like his 2-minute rule.
Yes.
Which I really like. And I just reread again this morning as I was going over my notes. But so going back to meditation, you know, if because a lot of people want to, they just it's like they feel like, oh, I got to do this whole thing and it's a big setup. Just do it for 2 minutes and then stop yourself. And he even said like running, run for 2 minutes, but then you have to stop. And so eventually, if you're doing that, then you're in your mind, you're going to go like, I'm going to do 3 minutes today. I'm going to do 4 when you're comfortable with it. And then now that grows into now you're doing something that you wanted to do all along for a longer period, but it was too overwhelming when you thought of doing it for 30 minutes or for doing it, you know, running 2 miles. Just do 2-minute increments.
You know, it's interesting. Remember, I think I told you that when I started training for my first half marathon, I got that app, which is sadly, I loved this app, and it's no longer available. Like, I don't know what happened to
it. Oh, that's not good.
I know. I've never seen an app
especially
disappear
if it worked
before.
For you.
Yeah, and so I think I told you, it like, you put in all the information, like when the event was, how far it was, how long it was, how many days a week you wanted to run, and then so I said 3 days a week, and it told me exactly on those 3 days, because again, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to have to figure out like, oh, I ran 2 miles last week. But now that you say that, it just occurred to me, it was never in miles. It was always in minutes.
Oh, wow.
And that, I think, made it more doable.
Yes.
Because if I'd known I was Like if I got up and looked at the app and it said, okay, today you're going to run 7 miles, I would have been like, yeah, I can't do that.
Right.
That's impossible. But it said, okay, run 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Not that I run 7 miles in 55 minutes, but just can't do the math right now. if it said run 70 minutes, I thought, okay, I got to go run 70 minutes.
Yes.
And I know last week I ran 60. It seemed more doable.
Yeah.
And maybe
I agree.
That's another hint. Like find a way to make things seem more doable. Like if you're starting out meditating, since we're using this as an example, and you're having a hard time, I have a hard time meditating, just say, I'm just going to sit quietly for 2 minutes.
There you go.
I'm not going to worry about
right.
meditating.
Right.
I'm just going to sit quietly and let my brain go where it wants
mm-hmm.
for 2 minutes.
No, that's even a much better way when you're talking about meditating to do it, because then you just get in the habit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with starting very slow on things,
mm-hmm.
even as an adult.
No. He even brought up, like, if you're going to learn a foreign language, so I thought of you, just practice French 2 minutes a day.
Yes.
Like, and that's how you start. And then you gradually, it grows. But you've started just with a small goal that you can do. One of the biggest things that I was like, again, like mind kind of blown, which because it's so true, but you just don't think about it, is to, it's easier to avoid temptation than to resist it.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning like if you're on a diet, don't say, sure, I'll walk up to the ice cream store with you. I just won't get any ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Because probably I'm going to convince myself by the time we've walked up to the ice cream store that, hey, I walked to the ice cream store.
Oh, yeah.
I should be able to get a small treat. Everyone else is getting the treats. Why can't I have a treat? I mean, this is my mind the whole time we're talking. So I was like, yes, because as I sit there and I go, all right, I'm not going to do A, B, or C. Oh, well, if I go out with the girls here, then that's probably going to happen. Or if I go to the golf club, that's going to happen. Or if I go to this, like wherever I'm trying to avoid, when I think of the situations I'm in, I'm going to probably have a less chance of avoiding it. So just resist the whole environments, like the environment that you're in. If you're really trying to build new habits and fix things or do things better, whatever your case is,
yes,
just keep yourself out of what causes a temptation.
No, that is good advice. I'm looking back on so his list of make it obvious, make it easy, make it attractive,
mm-hmm.
make it satisfying.
Yes.
And then he does spend a good portion of time, which I liked, going over not being sloppy or not letting yourself get sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, once you've developed a habit and you're doing it, learning a foreign language.
Yeah.
Yes, I was doing it a few minutes every day.
Okay.
And that is how I started to learn it. And I thought, oh, I'm becoming familiar with this. But then... So I was learning it on Duolingo. So mm-hmm. I did the app probably 5 to 10 minutes a day. But then I think I told you last year, I was like, am I really learning this? Or
right.
am I just learning what the app is? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just regurgitating what the app is telling me? So
mm-hmm.
I actually found a different way to test that by taking a class at Schoolcraft. So I think it's, and so that went right with his chapter of, you know, like go back and evaluate and reevaluate,
mm-hmm.
like how you're doing. Is this really working?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to change if it's not?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do differently to make it better if it is? I really liked that because it's not like it's enough to just do good habits.
Right.
You know, depending on, like, I know I could probably become a faster runner,
mm-hmm.
but if that were a goal,
mm-hmm.
it's not a goal.
Yeah.
But I probably, so like I run a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
If my goal were to become a faster runner, well, then I would start, yes, like researching form and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And sprints and all of that. That's not a goal for me, but I do know how I would go about it if it ever were to be.
Right. So you would, but just for the record, you don't want to be a faster runner.
I don't really care about being fast.
I was going to say, I see people out there that look just like they're still walking, but they move their arms like they're running. I'm like, I'm just going to do that. It still looks like they're running to me. You don't need to be a faster runner. Just the fact that you're running is like, and sticking with it is awesome.
Well, yeah. And for me, it's just getting out there and being outside and knowing that I'm exercising. And I know, I guess, mm-hmm. I'm never going to be the fastest. I'm never going to show up at a 5K and win.
Right.
So it's like if you're not, I get this is just my thinking. If you're not training to win,
mm-hmm.
I just do it. I just do it because I enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So another thing he talks about is self-control is a short-term strategy, not a long-term one.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yes. Right? Because you cannot say, I'm never going to do something or, you know what I mean? So if you can practice self-control as short-term strategies, obviously it gets into the foundation of who you are and it could be a long-term one, but there's going to be hiccups along the way and maybe you don't like, what's an example? Drinking wine, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're like, you can't say I'm never going to drink wine again, but you might say, you know, I'm never going to drink wine. I'm only going to drink wine one day a week or something. Or mm-hmm. you make it more, you know, little
bit, specific.
Yeah, specific. But down the road, if you drink 2 days a week, it's about self-control. And if you were drinking 7 days a week, now you're only, you screwed up. Now you did two instead of the one that you set out for.
Right.
But that's in anything. I'm going to eat 3 green vegetables a day. I'm going mm-hmm. to, you know, walk an hour a day, whatever it is. Make, you know, self-control is very short term. Don't think this is how it has to be forever in your mind. But if you build the habit, like he even said, a lot of people say 30 days is what it takes to build a habit. He said it's really not about the length of time. It's more about the frequency.
Yes.
How often you do it. Frequency will build the habit. If you say, you know, you're going to, it might be, he's like, for example, pay your bills on time. That's really something you only do really once a month.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's not something, you did it once a month. You're not building a habit. It's not, you're making yourself do that. It's got to be frequency. It's not about the days, the hours that you do something. It's that you just continue to keep doing it. And I think that another big thing is putting it out there in the universe and holding yourself accountable is huge. Because even this morning, as I thought, I got out of bed and I was going to immediately go for my walk. But I thought, no, I'm going to make the bed. Because on the podcast, I said,
oh, yeah.
One habit I got was making the bed when I get out of it. So I went and made the bed. Then I got home and I took a shower and I was getting ready. And I'm like, where's my phone? Oh, wait, it's over there. Let me just, oh, no, Lynn, you cannot check the phone because you said out loud that you are not doing that anymore. So just not necessarily having to do it on a podcast, but I think telling friends and stuff what your goals are holds you so much more accountable. Not necessarily that they're holding you accountable, but in your mind, it's like, I've said it, now I've got to do it.
Exactly. Yes, and when I was doing that 1,000 days of summer, 1,000 words of summer, whatever it was, and you would check in with me every day.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I know I want to do this, and I know that I'm holding myself accountable, but the fact that you also would check in, and there were days it's like I hadn't sat down to write yet. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and write and tell Lynn I did before she asked.
Exactly.
And there was something so satisfying
so
about
true.
That.
And if you really want to do it, tell a kid that you live with. Because, yes, you know, it's like, oh, I thought you were going to do this every day. What happened to the, we were going to have a different dinner every day? You know, all these things. It's like, okay, all right, I got it. Yes.
It's proof that they remember everything you say. And so when they're like, I forgot, you're like, no, now you're lying.
Right. Yeah, they sure don't remember when I say make your bed and stuff. But let me tell them that I'm going to make my bed every day. And now it's a different story.
Oh, I'm sure if you said that you were going to make their bed, they would remember that too.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay, well, the book we read, again, Atomic Habits by James Clear, very helpful and just like very simple. He breaks things down so simply. It's easy to understand. I'm giving it to my teenage son next. I'm hoping that he reads it and enjoys it. And
keep in mind, it's about building good habits and breaking bad ones.
Yes.
So it's not just about the good habits, which, you know, when I first got the book, I thought it was going to be all about that. But it's also about breaking the bad habits. And I think for me, the book has just made me realize, be more conscious.
Yes.
Or cognizant of what I am doing.
Ooh, excellent vocabulary words.
Oh, well, you know, it's one of the harder words for me to say without having to think about it. In fact, a friend got me a glass that had it phonetically spelt out on it.
Oh,
because
that's funny.
I always screwed up saying that when we were talking. Not like I use the word every day, but when I did, I'd always be like, you must be aware. Like I would just, I couldn't even do it. But just being more aware of what you're doing that you want to improve or change or build into your day. I mean, it really, really helped me out a lot. I highly recommend the book.
I agree. I think it's the awareness because like I'm in a situation right now where my job changes week to week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I'm just kind of struggling getting into habits because of I don't have a regular schedule right now, but I'm more aware. So I know when things do get back to normal, I'll be like, okay, now I can work with this, but at least I'm more aware so that when I'm ready to move to that phase, I will be ready.
Yeah.
Totally ready. And so that's why even if you're not ready, it's just a good thing to read and it's easy to refer to later. So we want to know what you're thinking. Check out our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com. You'll find all our social media on there. And we'd love to hear about you and your habits and what's going on with you. And thanks for joining us. See you next week.